Blog Talk Radio.
It was on a dreary day when the moon looked like blood. Jesus gave his very life that we might live. The one who walked upon the water healed the sick, the lame and blind, and there was nothing that he didn't give.
Of God, welcome, welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was Jimmy Davis, an old-time gospel singer. The title of the song, He Wrote My Name in Blood. Let's listen to that again. That's an amazing song. As you listen to the tune, just think about Jesus. Make it personal. Think of Jesus writing your name in the book of life in blood.
It was on a dreary day when the moon looked like blood. Jesus gave his very life that we might live. The one who walked upon the water healed the sick, the lame and blind, and there was nothing that he didn't give.
Amazing song. We'll play the rest of it at the end. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for sending your son Jesus, he who bled out on Calvary, that all of our sins might be washed away. What an amazing sacrifice. What an amazing mission for the Son of Man, the man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. He was bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed today. Bless us, O God, we pray. Bless us, Lord, as we believe you for a revival. We are praying for a revival. We're praying that many more may come to know Christ as Savior, so that their names also may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life with blood. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Our scripture verse for the series this week comes to us by the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 66. Let me encourage you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 66. Isaiah, you know, we have four evangelists in the New Testament. We have Matthew, is known as an evangelist, Mark, Luke, and John. In addition to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the scholars have made the argument that Isaiah, the major prophet who wrote a book containing 66 chapters, that he is the fifth evangelist. And in addition to Isaiah being the fifth evangelist, Zechariah, the minor prophet, is the sixth evangelist. For the prophecies of Isaiah and Zechariah contain so much pertaining to the coming ministry of Christ. So let us read Isaiah 66, verse 7, 8, and 9. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who have heard such a thing? And who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let it bless us. Let it encourage us. Let it strengthen us as we look forward to a move of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. The title of our series this week is, Can a 1,000-member church be established in one day? We're on this theme of a 1,000-member church. I am believing God for 1,000 members for Grace Church. I'm believing the Lord for that many. And that will require a lot of work on our behalf. That will require a lot of follow-up, a lot of dedication, a lot of giving of ourselves to all of these new people that will come. But that's the ministry. That's what God would have us to do. This notion of just meeting with people on Sundays, and that's it. That's not biblical. The minister, the pastor, and all those who serve along with the pastor must be about the Father's business every single day to not only bring in the harvest, but also to keep the harvest, the momentum going. If you stop at any point, growth stops. So the harder you work for the Lord, the greater the potential for growth. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but what's the problem? What's always been the problem? Laborers. People today don't want to work. Or let me put it this way. People in the ministry, professional clergy, pastors, for the great many of them want it easy. They only want to show up on Sundays and do what they're required to do, no more, no less, take their paycheck, and then do minimal work. And this is why we have so many nominal Christians. Nominal. Why do we have so many nominal Christians? Because we have nominal pastors. Pastors who only do the bare essentials. And so this is why the church across the United States is in decline. So we are looking to turn that trend around at Grace Church because we're doing it the New Testament way. We're doing it God's way. And there's so much joy in our hearts and on our faces every Sunday morning when someone new comes in. We get so excited when someone new shows up. Why? Well, because that's the way it should be. Empty church produces frowns, sadness. A filled church produces rejoicing. So, look at verse 7. Verse 7 is the verse we're going to be looking at today. And verse 7 reads, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Who's the she in the text? I would argue that the she, and I'm going to prove this over 4 days, I would argue that the she in the text is the church. Before the church travailed, prayer, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was what? Delivered of a man child. The text here, the text is referencing the church. The woman is the church. And it's speaking of the restoration of the church. The church has been, according to Isaiah, all of Isaiah 66, starting from Isaiah 66, 1, all the way down to verse 6, the church is being rebuked by God, the church at large, being rebuked by the Lord for her hypocrisy, for her dual living, half the time in the church, the other half in the world, 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world, being double-minded, thinking godly and then thinking worldly. She's rebuked. But then there's a resurgence. There's a period where God visits the church, and she is what? She is what? Restored. A church that's restored is a church that is giving birth. I'll prove it to you. Let's go to Genesis. Go with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 18. Let's go to Genesis 18. And it says in Genesis 18, now this is Abraham and Sarah. They're old. It says Genesis 18. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, you know what the Bible's talking about. She did not get her monthly menstruation. That ceased. That ended a long time ago. Therefore, it goes on to say, therefore, Sarah what? She laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old? What's she laughing at? Did God say a joke? No. She's laughing at the fact that God has said to both her and Abraham that in their old age, they would have what? A child. God always restores the church with the birth of a generation. Always. This happens all the time. So, I'll read to you. Let's start at verse 9. And it was asked of Abraham, where's your wife Sarah? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in her tent, which was behind Abraham. Now Sarah and Abraham were very old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old and have no pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Now look at the question. Sarah's old. Abraham's old. Their prime is past. Their prime is long gone. But not God's prime. Listen, you and I, physically, spiritually, you look at it any way you want to, you'll say to yourself, my time is far past. I've been going downhill for years. There's no way God can use me. And God appears to Grace Church and says, I will use you. I will cause the church to give birth to a new generation. And we laugh. We say, that happened in the 70s, we were big. In the 80s, we were big. We were big when there were other people in charge. But now we're old and stricken in age. And God says, oh, no, this time next year, you shall have a son. And Sarah's laughing as though God said a joke. But God's not laughing. Look at verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question. Can a 1,000-member church be established in one day? Now, if it was up to me and my abilities, you can forget it. It will never happen. It would never happen. Not based on my abilities. I have no abilities. I have no power to change any man's heart. None whatsoever. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. He can do it. He can do it. Did it happen? Of course it happened. The Lord says, at the appointed time, I will return unto thee. At the appointed time, I will visit you. There's that word visitation again. At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. At the appointed time, I will bring about a revival in her womb. That's the woman. And she will bring forth what? A man-child. Now, let's go to Genesis 28. Let's go to Genesis 28. I'm sorry, Genesis 30. Genesis 30. In Genesis 30, verse 1 and 2, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's place? Am I in God's stead, who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Jacob says to his wife, he says, listen, you're demanding a child from the wrong person. If God doesn't bless your womb, if God does not open up your matrix, if God doesn't make it happen, it's not going to happen. You're coming to me when you ought to be going to God. So let's turn to chapter 30, verse 22. It says in chapter 30, verse 22, and God remembered Rachel. In other words, at some point in time, Rachel had prayed. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her voice. And God opened her womb. There you go. There's the church again. Listen, the church with no children is on decline. If there are no conversions, if there are no new births, if there are no baptisms, the church is going backwards. To reverse that trend, the church has to pray. When the church prays, God hearkens. He opens the church's womb. It says here, and she conceived, and she bore a son. There it is again. There's that key word, a son. And she said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord, who gave me the first one, the Lord who gave me my first son, shall no doubt give me another. No doubt. So notice, again, look, it says, before she travailed, before she prayed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Now, who's the man-child in the text? If the church is the woman, who's the man-child? Are we praying for an Isaac? No. Are we praying for a Joseph? No. Who we're praying for? Who are we praying for? Well, let me take you back to Genesis. I want to show you how pivotal this is. Go to Genesis 26. You have Isaac. Isaac. In Genesis 26:19, it says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. You see, my brothers and sisters, every generation has to pray for the birth of the next generation. Why? Because in and of ourselves, we're barren. We cannot produce spiritually. Abraham and Sarah were not able to produce spiritually. Isaac and Rebekah were not able to produce spiritually. Jacob and Rachel were not able to produce spiritually until what? Each one of them prayed. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. In other words, he prayed to God. God received his prayer and had respect unto his prayer and answered his prayer. And we know he answered because Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The church will die. The church will always die if she is not constantly giving birth. And this is what we're praying for, saints. We're praying that God will give us the birth of 1,000 new souls. That's our faith. God has given us a building, and we have to work with what God has given us. We can't work outside. We can't pipe dream. We can't make – listen, we have a building that sits comfortably 250 people. I've already figured out that on a given Sunday, we can squeeze in four services. We can do it because I've done it in the past. On a Sunday, I've squeezed in four services. So we can do it with the Lord's help if we entreat him, if we pray. Listen, God did it for Abraham and Sarah. And he gave them Isaac. And then God did it for Isaac and Rebekah. And he gave them whom? He gave them Jacob. And God did it for Jacob and Rachel, and he gave them Joseph. Joseph, who later on becomes the prime minister of Egypt and who rescues his entire family from the great famine. You see, my brothers and sisters, every generation must have a birthing. As pastor of Grace Church, I can't come there and be happy with no births. I have to, listen, I have to say like Abraham, God, what give you me seeing that Sarah goes barren? It was Isaac who entreated the Lord because his wife was barren. It was Jacob who said to his wife, why do you come to me? You need to go to God if you're barren. Go to him in prayer. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you see, the woman in the text in Isaiah 66:7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man. Who's the man? Is it Isaac? No. Is it Jacob? No. Is it Joseph? No. Well, then it's got to be Pastor Torres. Oh, no, you're mistaken if you put my name out there. That's not the man you're waiting for. The man that we're all waiting for is the man, Christ Jesus. You read in the book of Acts, everywhere where the disciples went, they went preaching Christ. That's the man. That's the man who saves them all. That's the Savior. Zion has brought forth whom? Jesus. The church has brought forth Jesus. How do we know that? Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried, travailing in birth and pang to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon a head. And with his tail he drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who should what? Rule the nations with the rod of iron. That's speaking of Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Why are we praying? What at Grace, why are we praying? We're praying that men and women would come to Christ. Our vision for Grace Church is the New Testament vision. Christ front and center. So, Isaiah 66, verse 7, begins with our church revival begins by the church bringing forth Christ and preaching him to everyone. That's how it all starts. Again, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts, and you will find out all the apostles preach Christ. All the deacons, Stephen preached Christ. Philip preached Christ. You read Acts 7 and 8, they preach Christ. Paul, after his conversion in Acts 9. What did he do? He went to Jerusalem and he began to what? Preach Christ. Christ is that man-child spoken of here in Isaiah 66, verse 7. If the church wants to experience multiplication and growth, Jesus must be that man-child. He must be it. Well, we're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow. Are you believing the Lord with me for 1,000? I believe, based on the text, I believe that God can do it in one day. And as you meet with me each and every day this week, I'll make the case. Why? Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Impossible for me? Yes. Impossible for you? Absolutely. Impossible for us all? You better believe it. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. God bless you.
When I cross chilly Jordan and make my way to glory land, where there'll be no sorrow and no pain, I'll stroll down streets of gold and walk up to his throne and shake the nail-scarred hand that wrote my name. Dying for me, tears falling for me, for what reason I cannot understand. While around him they stood, Jesus rose.